That's where we're going to be looking. On September 4th, 2006, September 4th, 2006, how many of you remember a guy named Steve Irwin? You remember Steve Irwin? He was the crocodile hunter. So Steve Irwin, on September 4th, 2006, the crocodile hunter, he died. He was 44 years old at the time, and he died when he was swimming, and was swimming with some stingrays, and he got down close to one, apparently, and it quilled him. The poisonous, serrated quill of on the tail of that thing came up and pierced him, and it pierced his heart. And so there was really nothing they could do, especially being out where they were. And so Steve Irwin, who faced dangers daily, and he made it a point to be extremely alert and guard his body from all surprise attacks by the animals and things that he encountered. You may have watched him with the alligators, I mean, he was, or the crocodiles, and he would feed them and stuff. But he knew what he was doing on that. And he was always, it didn't look safe, I wouldn't have done it, but he knew what he was doing. But he did not, this one area that he may have thought would not be vulnerable turned out to be the most vulnerable. And it was not his limbs or head, but his heart that was unprotected. And because of that, it cost him his life. And the Word of God instructs us in verse 23 here, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Now that word keep your heart, it means to guard or to watch over. That's the idea. It's this watching, it's looking after it, it's paying attention to it. And when it talks about keep your heart, guard your heart, it means almost everything here but the physical organ that pumps blood. If you really go into what this word here means for the heart, I mean, it's a long list of things. And it really, the core of it, and I'll talk a little more about this in a moment, but it really talks to the core of who we are. It's not about this organ in here, this muscle that is pumping blood. That is not at all what this verse is referencing to. So it's not talking about the physical organ of our heart here, but of the core of the individual, our intellect, emotions, and will. It's the area where we think, it's in the essence of who we are when we're talking about our heart, okay? So in other words, guard your heart above all else, for it impacts everything that you do. Number one, in your notes there, the significance of the heart. Now, guarding your heart is more important than anything else that you do. Your physical heart determines how and what your body can or cannot do. Likewise, your spiritual heart will determine what you will or can do spiritually and eternally. Heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscience and decisive spiritual activity, the comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will, and the center of a person, the place to which God turns. And that comes from the book Fan the Flames by Jay Stowell. This is why God says he looks at the heart, not the external appearance. So when he looks at the heart, he's not talking about looking at that organ. He looks at who we are. That's the essence of that when he talks about looking at our heart. The essence of who we are, who you are, who I am. 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" He looks at who we are. Not what we look like, not our stature, not any of those things. He looks at who we are as a person, and he sees that. He sees it clearly. He sees through the mask and the put-ons that we have. He sees who we really are. It is out of our hearts that sin emanates. Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth," things that come out of the mouth, and a lot of times that's bad stuff that comes out of the mouth, the things that come out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Before we're regenerate, before we've been born again, we have a wicked, deceitful, nasty, vile heart. And what's going to come out of that? What comes out of the mouth? It's that. It's vile. It defiles a man. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." So folks, Of all things, if you don't get anything else tonight, here's what I want you to get. Do not follow your heart. Isn't that what we hear today? Oh, follow your heart. No, no, no. I think Scripture screams it. Don't follow your heart. It's wicked. You don't want to follow those emotions and the things that are in there. Don't follow your heart. It is by believing with the heart that one receives God's gracious salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Okay? It's not the organ. It's not the organ. It's the essence of who we are. When we believe with who we are. That's what he's saying here. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So heart, obviously the heart is very important for us as believers. That's why the Lord gives us strong warnings against, or not against, but about guarding our heart. So Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. Let's look at these. Just read through that briefly. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. So give attention to it. Put it, you know, pay attention to the word of God. Incline your ears to my sayings. So what he's pointing us here is the word of God. How does he instruct us? His words are here in the word of God. So the instruction for us today is to pay attention to the word of God, to be in the word of God, to give attention to that, to incline your ear to the things that are said in the word of God. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. What's the idea? It's to keep it before you. If it's before your eyes, it's in front of you. It's not on the counter over there. It's not on the shelf. It's been put away. It's in front of you. Keep it there. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And that idea there is to meditate upon it. As you study the Word, as you learn the Word, to meditate upon the Word. Keep it in the midst of your heart. So we're to give attention to the Word. We're to incline our ear to what it says. We're not to depart from it. We're to keep it before us. That means we should be in it daily. We should be in the Word. And then keep it in the midst. Keep it. So as we keep it before us, as we stay in, we can incline our attention to it. What we get from it, then we should keep that and meditate upon that. We pay attention to that in everything that we are. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Again, the mouth shows what's in the heart. We looked at that already. What spews out is what's inside. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. The eye will look where the heart is focused and where the heart is and where the heart is straying. You know, if you've ever noticed that, you know, when you start getting away from the Lord, your eye wanders. That's when your eye wanders. It's when if you keep your eye straight, that's why I keep it before you. Stay focused on the Word. Keep your heart right. That's how we do that. It's the warning that's given here. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder, consider, think about it. Use your head. Think it through. Allow the Word of God to guide your life. So ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. If we'll follow the Word, if we follow the Word, not my heart. I don't follow my heart. I follow the Word of God. I follow the admonition and the direction and the guidance that comes from the Word of God. In fact, following our heart is what James 1 is really talking about. Verse 14, every man is tempted. When are we tempted? When he is drawn away of his own lust. You've got things inside of you. You have these things that we would desire. And so, but you're drawn away by your own lust and enticed. Okay? You realize you can't be enticed by something you don't have a lust for? I mean, I don't know. What's asparagus? Asparagus pudding. Banana pudding, don't bring it in my house. It's going to be in trouble, okay? Asparagus pudding, it'll sit there till it rots. It will. In fact, I won't bring it in my house, okay? It won't come in for a whole different reason. But that's the thing. It's that you have. If you don't have a lust for something, money, you know, if you don't have a lust for money, If you don't have a lust for the money, you're not going to be tempted with stealing something. I've shared it. You could put $1 million. You could put $1 million coin, whatever it is, something that's small enough that I could stick in my pocket, put it right here. You could turn the lights out, and I could be guaranteed to take it and get away scot-free. No one would ever know. And can I tell you, that would not tempt me in the least. I would not be in the least bit tempted to take that. Now, you put banana pudding there on the table and turn the lights out, there could be trouble. Okay, there could be trouble. So it's what's in the heart that creates the problem, right? So every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth death, or brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So what happens? Our lust draws us out. I used to use the illustration here of catfish. If you've ever gone fishing for catfish, Tim, you've fished for catfish, I'm sure. I mean, we use old stink bait. You know, you'd take liver. We'd take liver and we'd put, I didn't know why as a kid, but we'd put stockings, like stockings around the liver. Because if you don't and you put the hook in there, it'll just throw it off, right? So but catfish love it because the liver stinks. You know, it's just old stink bait. They love that. So what happens is, the old catfish is in there going, man, I'd sure love something to eat. And so he's lured out by his own lust. Now, what's going to entice him? Something he wants to eat. You can throw certain things out there, certain bait, that he ain't going to pay any attention to it. So what do you bait him with? What do you entice him with? What he already wants. What do you think Satan does to us? What do you think he's doing to us? What do you think this world is doing to us? It is enticing. And you go, well, he doesn't know what. He does know. Because his minions are watching you all the time. I don't think he's ever paid me any mind. But I promise you, he's got minions that are watching me. And they know where my weaknesses are. They know what would be enticing for me. Because they know where my lust is. And so they're going to work to make that available to me. Now, the world system we got right now, I don't care what it is. You're going to get bombarded with it. Because it's all being thrown out there. Okay? But that's what happens. So then we're drawn out. That old catfish comes out there. He's enticed. He's enticed because that's what he wants. And when he takes bite, when he takes that bite of that, and that hook set, sin brings forth death. And that's what happens to us. It's a picture of this, but it comes from the heart. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. He made a decision. He said, I'm not backing up from right here. I am not going to do that. You know, the time to make decisions on stuff's not when you're faced with it. It's long before that. You determine in your heart that you're not going to sin. You determine in your heart you're not going to. And then you stay away from situations that would put you in a situation with that. So I stay away from the buffet that has the banana pudding all over it, you know. Just stay away. And then I don't have a problem with that. You avoid those things. That there is, you know, that a problem, then you will stay away from it. But he purposed in his heart. He made a determination that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defile myself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So then in verse 27, going back to Proverbs here, chapter 4, verse 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. Stay on task. Stay focused. Stay straight ahead. My daughter used to sing a song. It was you thinking that? I looked Gina smiling as I started to say that. My daughter used to sing this song. Y'all probably, some of you would know the song. I won't turn left and I won't turn right. I will not stray from the path that's right. And it goes from there. I'll keep on. Come on, sing it. Keep on singing. Yeah, so my daughter Jordan, when she was little, was that on some video or something? Did they do it at church? Did that at church. So I still remember that. I still see little 5-6-year-old Jordan singing that song. But that's the truth. I think I remember her on with her mic. Yes. That she had a little thing that played music and she had a mic and stuff and she'd get up there singing that. But that's what we should be, that's what we should be purposing. I won't turn left and I won't turn right. I will not stray from the path that's right. It's a determination we make. Joseph, what did he do? He fled from Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39:12, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. What did he do? He didn't entertain it. He didn't say, you know what, I'm strong. I won't give in to temptation. I won't give in to any of this. I'll just stick it out and tell her no. No. What did he do? She grabbed him by his coat and said, come in here. And he said, you can have the coat. I'm out of here. That was wise. Now people would say, oh, it was terrible because, you know, he ended up in jail. No, you know what? He kept his integrity. He might have gone to jail, but he kept his integrity. And they lied, but he didn't get by God. He wasn't. God knew what was going on. God had a plan in that. Joseph kept his heart right. There's a war being fought in the world today, and it is a supernatural war fought between God and Satan, between heaven and hell, and it's being fought for your heart, your spouse's heart, your children's hearts, your Sunday school teacher's hearts, your deacon's hearts, your elder's hearts, and your pastor's heart. So you need to pray. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for each other. You need to pray for the leadership of this church, because I'm going to tell you what I want. I want to finish strong. I'm not a young man anymore, though I like to think I'm still a young man. But a lot of things tell me I'm not. It's all relative, right? You know what? 35, when I was teaching up north, and I'd say something about I'm getting older, and everybody in the room was older than me. They'd be, poor. So it's always the thing, right? Those that are older. It's a point of reference. But for me, that was 17 years ago. I was 40 years old. Man, I was a baby at 40, you know? I'm not a young man anymore at 57. Here's what I want to do, though. I want to finish strong. There are so many guys that I've known personally that fell early in the race. I've known some others that fell midway in the race. I've known a lot of them that have busted their nose on the track late in the race. They didn't go through the tape. They didn't finish the race. I want to finish the race. I want to finish it strong. And so I'm going to pray that way. I'm going to pray that way. And I'm going to make those determinations. You know, it doesn't just not happen. You've got to determine that. You got to make a commitment to it. You got to get it in your head. I'm not going down that road. I'm not turning right and left, and I won't turn right. I will not stray from the path that's right. You're going to stay focused. You know what? When you feel things getting wobbly, you got to do a check. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that. Number two, warning signs of heart problems. Warning signs, okay? So here's some warning signs. So in your physical heart, there's some signs, right? Hardening of the arteries. That's one. Hardening of the arteries. Well, that would be like a cold indifference spiritually. Getting hard-hearted. Hebrews 4:7, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You get hard-hearted. You get a cold indifference. You get a little cold in your walk. You get a little dry in your prayer time. You get a little absent from your Bible study. Next thing you know, man, you know what? I don't know. I don't need to be at church every Sunday. I'll miss this Sunday. It's okay. And the next thing you know, you're out of church. No, that would never happen to me. But it starts with a little cold indifference. It starts with a little hard-heartedness. It's all it takes, this hardening of the arteries. A young man had enrolled in seminary. He found an apartment next to the railroad tracks. And the first night he was there, he didn't sleep. I thought about you. We went out to Utah, and we rented a VRBO out in the middle of nowhere. It looked like somewhere, when we got out there, it looked like something that'd be in one of those movies. One of those movies where you'd just be like, people start disappearing. Out in the middle of southern Utah. And at night, the train's coming through there. I don't think you slept at all that. We were there one or two nights. And I don't think Gina ever slept. So this guy finds this kid. He finds this apartment, and it's close to the tracks. First night, he didn't sleep. Almost had a heart attack that first night. Train coming through there. What is that, you know? But here's the thing. Over time, he grew accustomed to it to the point that he hardly even noticed it. It's the same thing. It's the same hardening process that occurs when God speaks to our hearts and we don't respond. You go, you know, look, why do we have an altar call? You know, here's why we do that. Because it makes me feel good. Makes me feel good as a pastor when people come to the altar. Makes me feel like I'm earning my money. That's why I do an altar call. It's not why I do an altar call. I do an altar call because I know that God's word doesn't return void. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I preach the word of God. And I know that the Holy Spirit of God works through the preaching of the word of God. And so we have an altar call so that you have an opportunity to respond to what God's doing in your heart. I'm going to tell you, I'm thoroughly convinced there's a difference of saying, I'll pray about it later. I know the Lord's speaking to me. I'll pray about it later. Or even, I'll pray about it right now. I'm not really focused on that. There's something different about coming to the altar and getting on your knees before God and focusing your prayer on what He's talking to you about. Responding to what God's doing in your heart. And when He's doing something in our hearts, and we push that aside, or we ignore it, we get hard-hearted. It's a danger. So eventually, we stop hearing His voice because our hearts become hard. B, you can have a heart murmur, right? Some people have a heart murmur. I never understood that because I still don't really understand it. I just know if you have a heart murmur, there's something strange in the way your heart beats. And this is the part that confused me, is that when you were having dental work, they wanted to know if you had a heart murmur, because apparently if you have a problem with your mouth and you have a heart murmur, there can be a lot of problems there. That's strange. It's interesting, the mouth and the heart are tied together physically, isn't it? Interesting. Interesting that heart problem can be a bigger problem because of the mouth. It's just, there's something to that. Okay, so this heart murmur can be related spiritually to a critical or a complaining spirit. Okay, a critical or complaining spirit. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining. That word is also the word, same idea here of murmuring, complaining, and disputing. So there's a story about this American that's just a typical American family, and they're driving home from church one Sunday, and dad's fussing about the sermon being too long, and it was sort of boring, and mom said she thought the organist played too loudly during the second hymn that they sang. And the sister, well, she's a music major at college, and she thought that the soloist was about a half note off key during most of her song. And then grandma said she couldn't hear very well since they were sitting all the way in the back. And then, as they pulled in the driveway, little Willie, who's listening to all of this, he started to fuss about the woman who was sitting in front of him, and he couldn't see anything because she had this big hat on. But then he paused and he nudged his dad and he said, "But Dad, you got to admit it was a pretty good show for a dollar." 3 people got that. Pretty good show. Complaining. But I guess dad gave a dollar in the offering. So a pretty good show for a dollar. All this complaining. Shouldn't be complaining. It's a heart problem. Exodus 16, the children of Israel murmured against God. Now they murmured against God. In chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt.'" How quickly we forget. Amen? How quickly we forget. We're right into complaining. They've been freed from slavery, the bondage of slavery, all of that. But oh man, they're out now and they're glorifying their slavery. It says, "When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full." When was that? Talk about a creative memory. Wow. Creative memory. But they're out there, and so they're complaining. "For you have brought us..." Now, they're complaining about Moses and Aaron here. "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Wow, what an accusation. They're accusing Moses and Aaron. You brought us out here for us to die. That's exactly what they said. We would have been better to die back there where we sat by pots full of meat. And man, we ate bread till we were full. Life was so good. Crazy. Now, it's certainly selective memory, right? It's not selective there. I think that's creative memory because they're creating things. They're remembering things that never even were real, never even occurred. They forgot the whole thing about being slaves. And the grumbling was a result of a lack of vision and faith, and they saw only death as the prospect. And here's ultimately what they were doing. They were grumbling against God's appointed leaders, and therefore they were grumbling against God. So that's what they were doing. They're grumbling as God is leading Moses and Aaron to lead them. They're grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They're grumbling against God. They're ultimately, it's Adam in the garden going, that woman, God, that woman that you gave me. Who's he blaming? He's blaming the woman a little bit, but not really. He's really blaming God. You gave, Lord, it's her. She did this. And you gave her to me, so hey, don't look at me. It ain't me. Isn't that where we get? It's where they're at, but that's where we can get. We can get that way with our complaining. Okay. C, hypertension. You have hypertension of the heart. And so spiritually this would be anger or supersensitivity. I'm super sensitive, okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Have you been forgiven? Yes. If you've been forgiven, then we should be forgiving. Man, Conrad, listen to that. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away. Gene, are you listening to this? Put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. They would never believe for a second how mean you are to me. They would never believe that. I'm kidding. She's not. She's as sweet 99% of the time as she is right now.
We believe that.
That's truth. It's probably 100% though. She's awesome. I pick at her because I know she'll... You should say that. It's a big bed. It's a big bed, and I get that much of it, so it's a big bed. All right, do you find yourself mad at something that at other times wasn't a problem? Then there may be a little hypertension. We got some anger issue there. We're too sensitive. Do I take offense easily? Do I get my feelings hurt quickly? Do I get upset when you don't get your way? These are all things where we have to be careful. This hypertension, this anger, this supersensitive. Look, we got to be very patient. We got to be very forgiving. If we've been forgiven, we should be very forgiving. And we can all, I don't know, I ain't going to say that. I don't know. Some of you may not have a bit of trouble with that. I have to pay attention to this. I have to be careful with this. D, heart blockage. So you're going to have a heart blockage, right? So that would be stubbornness and resistance to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 81, verse 11 and 12 says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk their own counsels. That's a scary thing. I want to share something, but I can't. I'm not sure I can remember exactly what was said. I saw something this week, and it may come to me in a moment. The way it was said, I think it was this idea of us being judged. I think here's the thing. Sometimes people think that when we get into sin, or we get away from the Lord, that He is very loving, and He's very gracious with us. And He's very patient with us. And we go, well, God ought to judge us. But you know, This guy made a great point. He said, when he lets you do what you want to do, he is judging you. He's turned you over. That's a dangerous place to be. If he turns you over and he says, hey, all right, big boy, you got it all figured out, go at it. You can have it. Whatever you want, go at it. You're going to get it. You'll find out. What is that? Calamity? That calamity? Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, this is speaking of lost people here, what the lost world, that's the heart there. But there's a danger for us as believers if we are stubborn, if we're resistant to what God is doing in our hearts, if he's convicting us of something and we want to push it away, there's a danger that the judgment, and we think, oh, he's being gracious with me. No. Maybe he's judged you and just said, you go at it. That's what you want? Go at it. I'm going to let you go get what you want. It's kind of the dog chasing a car. What you going to do when you catch it? Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God, this is continuing that, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Enlarged heart, that's an inflated ego. An inflated ego, enlarged heart, an inflated ego. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, here's a quote. I don't know who said it. I don't know where I found this. But he is impossible to get along with because he thinks he's impossible to get along without. Isn't that a great quote? Yeah. Man, how many people have you met like that? He's impossible to get along with because he thinks he's impossible to get along without. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. So there was a minister, a Boy Scout, and a computer expert were the only passengers on this small plane. The pilot came back to the cabin and said that the plane was going down, but there were only three parachutes, and there's four people on the plane. So the pilot added, I should have one of the parachutes because I have a wife and three small children. So he took one of the parachutes and he jumped. The computer whiz said, I should have one of the parachutes because I am the smartest man in the world, and everyone needs me. So he took one and jumped. The minister turned to the Boy Scout and with a sad smile said, you're young and I've lived a rich, full life, so you take the remaining parachute and I'll go down with the plane. And the Boy Scout said, relax, preacher. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack. Pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. James 4:6, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. All right, F, AFib. We've heard of AFib, right? Your heart's working like crazy. It's just beating like crazy and ain't getting a whole lot done. So this will be kind of be in the spiritual sense, could be being a workaholic or even a servaholic. Servaholic. Well, what is that? What are you talking about, preacher? Look, there's got to be a balance in life. There's got to be a balance in our spiritual life as well. And, you know, you can work too much. You can work too much in the secular realm. But do you know you can work too much in ministry? You can actually serve too much. So one of the things, here's the thought. So if the only time you're at church is when you have a ministry assignment, then you're serving too much and you need some balance. So if every time you're at church, you know, I would say it this way. At this point, there's no reason for anybody to ever miss the service. There's no reason to ever miss this the Sunday morning service. Now, if you're serving every Sunday, you're in a ministry, let's say you were doing nursery in the second service, and every Sunday you're in there, every Sunday, and you're not coming in here in the first service, that's a problem. But I'd say if you're only serving in nursery once a month back there, and you're skipping the service because it's an extra hour and a half on the day, I think that's a problem as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not legalistic and like, boy, if you missed the service, you're going to hell. You have backslidden to the point of no return. What I'm saying is, at this point, I believe this. I believe that our corporate worship is super important. I believe that. Well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to believe that. No, I don't believe that because I'm the preacher. I believe that since I first got saved and started going to church. I believe coming together, this corporate worship, this is great what we do on Wednesday nights, but this is a little different than Sunday morning. There is something about the body of Christ coming together. We praise and we exhort the Lord. We pray together. We worship around the Word of God. All of that. There's something to that. And what I'd say is it's important that we don't miss that. And so one of the things I'm just trying to encourage you here. I'm not preaching to anybody right now. But I might be and not know I am. Because if we're serving and we're missing the service because I don't want to do more than that little two service, I can't do three, then we got to figure that out. Because that's the reason we create a rotation with the serving, with our ministries. You understand that? So we don't have somebody come, if they wanted to, if somebody said, I want to do nursery every week, second service, I want to do that. That's my ministry. Then I'd say, make sure you're in the first service. Don't miss that. Do you get that?
Yes.
There was someone here serving in a ministry area. I ain't going to tell you where. So you won't have any clue who it was. You wouldn't know them anyway. But when I first got here, they never came to the service. Never came to the service. They were always in that ministry area, always. I'm like, what's going on there? And you know what happened? Their heart was disconnected from the church. And when some changes happened, boom, they were gone. They weren't connected anymore. Their heart had disconnected because they weren't in here corporately worshiping together. This is important. Okay? Those are signs of heart problems. So serving, you could be that, man, I got to serve. You know, there are workaholics that they get they get some fulfillment or whatever from working, always being on the go. You know, we can do the same thing in ministry. I want to serve. I want to do. Because if I do, then I don't have to be. I don't have to walk close to God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do for Him. I'm not going to really walk with Him. That can happen. You got to be careful. Got to guard against that. We want you to serve. We want that to be a blessing and help you to grow. That's a part of our growth. It's a part of our what we do as a believer. But don't let that be your sanctifying thing. This is what makes me right with God. I was serving today. No. It's a great thing to do. But don't miss this. Oh, man. Can you see my struggle right now? So I got 6 minutes, and I've got 15 minutes of stuff here. All right, let's do this. Let's do number three, causes of heart problems. Causes of our heart problems. There's some causes. So one of the causes for heart problems, real, you know, physical heart problems are congenital defects, right? So, man, we've heard even in here prayer requests in the last few months of children born with these heart problems. We have a friend that in Indiana, they've had two children born with heart problems. One of the babies died, but heart problems. So they had to do surgery as soon as the child's born. So there's defects that you're born with, we have that. It's called a sin nature. Okay, that's the cause of our heart problem. Number one is a sin nature. B is poor eating habits. So what is that? Well, how about this? How about not reading the Bible? Okay, That's a poor eating habit. Spiritually, we need the Word of God. We need the bread of the Word of God. We need that. Not attending services, again, that's a part of being fed. We need to be fed. Now, we need to learn as believers, if I'm going to miss a Sunday, I got to learn to feed myself, right? You don't come in here. You shouldn't be coming in here on Sunday morning and go, man, the only food I'm getting spiritually is the service on Sunday morning. No, this ought to really be icing on the cake. This is the whipped cream on your coffee, if you like it that way, or your hot chocolate. But you should be able to feed yourself. But it's got to be, if you're not reading the Word of God, if you're not attending services, you're not properly eating, that causes heart problems. Lack of exercise. Well, what would that be? How about not serving? That's a lack of spiritual exercise. I'm not serving. I'm not doing anything in God's kingdom. I'm not doing anything in the house of God, serving the Lord anyway. No serving. That's a lack of exercise. Or not praying. That's a lack of exercise. I'm not giving. Not trusting God with what He's given me. I'm not giving back, not giving, not witnessing. All of these are ways of a lack of exercise, and they can cause heart problems. Loneliness. Loneliness can, that can cause heart problems. That is a heart problem, right? You're lonely. What would that be? Lack of Christian fellowship. We need that. I leave here on Wednesday night kind of on a high. I do. It's not the same as Rita. I have a different high, but no, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. I shouldn't joke about that. I shouldn't joke that way. But I do leave here. I leave here feeling good Wednesday night. The time, Sunday morning's great. I leave here exhausted Sunday morning. I do. I'm just being honest. I love it. But I love this. This is the part about the change. You guys are going to love it. John and the men's ministry is going to love it. I ain't loving it so much, but I do believe it's the best thing for our church. I believe it's healthy for our church because I love this. And I'll leave here tonight. I'll call my mom. By 8:15, 8:20, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to call my mom. I call her every Wednesday night. I just feel good. Leave here. I've been with the body. We've been encouraged in the Word. We've encouraged each other. It's more relaxed. I get to talk to people on Wednesday nights. I love it. But if you don't have that fellowship, man, it creates a loneliness. And we need that Christian fellowship. Past injuries, another cause of heart problems. And what comes from that? Well, unforgiveness and bitterness. When there's injuries in our past, and there can be things, it's amazing. I'm 57, but there are things when I'm 7 years old I can still remember like it was yesterday. Anybody know when? Anybody relate to that? So there's things that happen in our youth. Sometimes you may carry your whole life, and if you haven't dealt with stuff from your past, people that have hurt you, different things have happened, whether it was at 7 or 17 or 37, if you're past that and you've not dealt with it, you need to deal with it. Because if you don't, you're letting those past injuries, they're real danger of creating heart problems for you. So you need to learn to forgive, and you may need to get somebody to help you with that. And then here's another one. This is, how about this? Too much noise. Now, this is actually, it's true. Too much noise, it's true. You can go look this up. Is too much noise, is it unhealthy? So I looked it up again today. I wanted to verify this as I'm reviewing my notes. And too much noise is unhealthy. It can cause hearing loss. We would know that. But it can cause cardiovascular issues. Too much noise. Who would have known? Sleep disruption and other stress-related health problems. So too much noise can cause problems. Well, what would that relate to maybe in the spiritual realm? Let me put it to you this way. Too much noise. Listening to the wrong voices. That's noise. Listening to people that are negative, listening to people that aren't believers, even believers who aren't walking with the Lord or they're not walking the way they should with the Lord, listening to the wrong voices. And it could be your own voice. Who do you listen to more than anybody else? Yourself. Self-talk. And you may be talking counter to Scripture, counter to what God would have you, and you're talking all that negativity all the time. and it's going to show up. So don't listen to the wrong voices. Get that noise out. Okay. All right. So that's where we'll start. Is number four? Is 10 minutes maybe, and I would be finished with that. But got to stop.